This episode of Between the Rows was brought to you in part by Bayer. Bayer continues to make significant investments into the development of new breeding technologies and state-of-the-art cropping solutions to ensure the profitability and sustainability of your farm. This season, grow with confidence. Grow with Bayer.
Welcome to Between the Rows, where you get to hear the stories behind the stories in Canada's leading farm publications. Today, we're live on location at the Ag in Motion show. We have interviews with Norbert Beaujeu, president of Dot Technologies, Grey News machinery editor Scott Garvey, and Glacier Farm Media director of markets and weather information, Bruce Burnett. You'll be in the middle of the action, and we know you'll enjoy it. Now here's your host, Laura Rantz.
Welcome to Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Laura Rantz. We're bringing this week's show to you from Ag in Motion, the outdoor farm show just north of Saskatoon. First up, we have a report on this year's Grain News Machinery Challenge from Lisa Gunther and Scott Garvey. Lisa asked Scott to explain a little bit about what the Machinery Challenge is all about.
So what we try to do from a machinery perspective is not only just let farmers and readers know what's new and what the machinery companies say about their new equipment, is we like to actually get our hands on that equipment, take it out in the field to let farmers know that they can have an honest, unbiased opinion of machines that we've tested every year and let them make some decisions, or potential buying decisions, based on some real unbiased information.
And so I understand this is the second year of the Ag Machinery Challenge at Ag in Motion, is that right?
Right. We started the Grain News Machinery Challenge last year here on the grounds of the Ag in Motion show. And so what we do is we gather the machines for the category that we're deciding to test that year on the grounds of the show. And we put together a group of judges who have a background in machinery and know a bit about what they're talking about. And so we design tests and challenges, if you will, that are designed to mimic the kind of duties and tasks machines would be put to on a farm by farmers, and then we evaluate how they perform in that task. And then we want to let everyone know what the results are, so we will publish a full feature in an issue of Grain News after the show is over, and let everybody know what we gave the thumbs up to and what we gave the thumbs down to.
So tell us about the machines you were trying out this year.
Well, this year the focus was on materials handling, on-farm materials handling. But we decided that pretty much everybody's had experience with a typical ag tractor and front-end loader, so we looked around the industry and said, there are other machines that are popular elsewhere that are starting to attract the interest of farmers here in Canada. So we incorporated in our challenge this year a couple of telehandlers, an articulated loader, and a skid steer, and that gave us a range from a very sophisticated, high-end, very capable machines down to just your basic skid steer, and still, of course, capable. But and then the other machines fill in that range so that farmers can take a look at their needs, take a look at our reviews of the machines and what they're best at, because all of the machines are really good at certain things in different categories or different job types. And they can hopefully, if they're making a purchase decision, they can hopefully get some information from our challenge that will help them get the machine that suits their needs best.
So these are really different machines. Of course, it's hard to make direct comparisons, but any kind of highlights from this year's challenge that you want to talk about? Anything that really stood out for being really a great potential option for some farms?
Well, two of the telehandlers that we tested were kind of hybrids. From the cab forward, they're kind of a construction-grade machine capable of lifting up, in one case, up to 4.5 metric tons and extending that load up to a 9-meter boom extension. And then at the back of the machine, you've got a three-point hitch, you've got 540 and 1,000 RPM PTO and multiple hydraulic SCVs. So this machine can not only do a far better job of loading bales onto that semi-trailer truck or off when you're shipping or receiving large round bales, but it can go out into the field and actually replace that utility category ag tractor, because it can pull a round bale or a hay bind, It can do, you wouldn't want to do probably extensive draft work with it, but any PTO powered job that these machines are quite capable of, and run a large auger in the yard.
So where can people read about the results of this machinery challenge?
This year we're publishing the results in the August 29th issue of Grain News, and that will probably dedicate the whole machinery and shop section to an analysis of each machine and how it fared. So farmers, all they have to do is pick up a print copy of the magazine or check us out online at grainnews.ca, or if they go to our publisher's home website, agcanada.com/issue, they can read the whole magazine in a digital format.
That was Grain News reporter Lisa Gunther talking with machinery editor Scott Garvey. You can read more about what the farmer said about these pieces of the equipment in an upcoming issue of Grain News. You're listening to Between the Rows. I'm Laura Rance. In a few minutes, we'll find out what Glacier Farm Media's weather and crop analyst Bruce Burnett found out when he traveled nearly 4,500 kilometers last week examining the state of the prairie crop. But first, we have an item on what was perhaps one of the biggest attractions at this year's Ag in Motion, the DOT Autonomous Platform. The DOT is more than a robotic tractor. In fact, it's not a tractor at all. It's a remote-controlled platform that converts other pieces of field equipment into self-propelled units. That makes it lighter, more flexible, and less expensive than your typical tractor. Some are calling it the beginning of a new revolutionary era in agriculture. I had a chance to sit down with the DOT's inventor, Norbert Beaujol, to talk about his vision.
I'm Norbert Beaujol. I'm the president of DOT Technology Corp. And Seedmaster.
Now, Norm, there's some really interesting equipment on the field here today. Farmers have seen it for the first time. Tell me how the DOT came to be. I mean, when did it come to mind that this is what needed to happen?
When it came to mind, I guess about 3 years ago, I started trying to think of ways of improving on our efficiency levels. That we're building these bigger and bigger pieces of equipment, and they're getting less and less efficient, and of course that's counterproductive. And so about 2 years ago, I came up with the U-shaped frame concept autonomous platform, and I've worked, I've had it evolve every day of my life since then. Yeah.
And what is so different about this that you think could change farming as we know it?
Well, there's many things, but as an autonomous platform, you don't need the really big equipment. You can have two or three of these replace a 70 or 80 or 90 foot seeder. But the nice thing about it is it's made to handle all the other pieces of equipment. And when you look at something like spraying, which is a really important job on the farm, it can handle that so easily and so economically that once you've justified it as a seeder, the spraying operation becomes a small fraction of the cost of a high clearance sprayer.
And how does it change in terms of, I mean, people talk about this eliminating the tractor, for example.
That's right. I think with time, there's a possibility that this does eliminate. It's the beginning of the end of tractors, I think. We don't need drivers. There's young farmers I've been talking to, and they're excited. Yeah.
Do you have any idea how long it might take?
Well, we hope to encourage six farmers within 100 miles of Regina to help us test things for next year. And then once we've got those acres under our belt, we'd be ready for the bigger market.
But if we look back in history, I think it probably took 40 or 50 years for tractors to replace horsepower on prairie farms,
sure.
Even though the technology was there and it was known.
Yeah.
Do you think the pace of adaptation is going to be quicker?
I think mankind is more adapt to quicker change now than they were 50 or 100 years ago. We change our cell phones fairly often and get used to the new model. So I think it could be quicker, but it's such a huge change, it's bound to take 20 or 30 years for sure. Yeah.
So what does it feel like to see to see it working in a field like we've got here today?
You get, as far as just watching it, you get pretty comfortable with it pretty quick. And it's kind of like learning to use auto steer on your tractor. Once you've pushed that button a few times, it's pretty comfortable. And I've been using auto steer for 20 years, and then for me, I get a beep at the end of the field. Oh, darn, I got to grab the steering wheel and turn around. So this does the headland turn and boots me completely out of the tractor.
And as far as changing how people use even farm equipment, this is a platform that goes underneath as opposed to pulling?
Yes, somewhat underneath. The weight is carried on top, and if it's a cedar, it sticks through underneath and attaches on. It has a lot of energy improvements over a tractor unit, because a tractor has to have all the weights for the traction directly onto it. So there's a lot of wasted horsepower just pulling around the empty tractor. And so we estimate that with time we'll prove 20 or 25% savings in horsepower, in diesel fuel, and emissions, and all of that.
What are you seeing here in terms of farmer interest in it?
Well, we had a good crowd there, and people in the know have said that that's the biggest crowd they've ever seen for a demo like this, so we're happy for sure. Yeah.
Well, congratulations.
Well, thank you.
Thanks for being with us.
It was pretty easy.
That was Norbert Bougeot, president of Dot Technology Corporation. So, what do farmers think of this? Reactions from the sidelines were mixed. Some farmers think it's too complicated.
It'll be something for the younger people coming up to figure out.
You're not going to run out and buy one?
Probably not.
No. How about you?
We have trouble keeping our computer communicating with our printer. It's all relying on GPS and electronics, and technology has so many glitches.
Yeah.
I wouldn't trust it.
But others see some real advantages to it. For them, it's only a matter of time before it replaces the tractor. Here's what they had to say.
Asking people what their first impression is. I'm from the Manitoba Cooperative. You like it?
Yeah, I think it's great.
When what do you like about it?
Well, I like the concept that you don't have a great big machine that can go out there and do the job. And you know, you're getting away from having all this expensive equipment.
So, how many years have you been farming?
About 50.
Yeah. And do you see it happening on your farm before you retire, do you think?
Not lightly, no.
No?
But not far. But my dad talked about having sitting at the table and steering the tractor down the field, and it's here today. They also talked about being able to look at who you were talking to on the telephone, and you got that now too.
Do you think farmers will miss driving the tractor?
Yeah, it'll take a while for them to adjust to this. You know, there's a concept of a power when you've got all that engine underneath you. And the seats in the tractors are better than they have in the house most of them. So I think they're pretty good.
What do you think? Do you farm? Are you together?
No, neighbors.
Neighbors?
Yeah.
And so how many years have you been farming?
Oh, 7 or something like that, I guess.
And what's your first impression?
It's cool. Yeah, I'm a gadget guy, so it's cool. Yeah.
Do you see this something that you would adopt on your farm?
At some point in time, for sure, yeah. I'm sure there's quite a bit of refining to be done yet with it, but yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How? What's the biggest appeal for you?
I think a smaller equipment size for one. The efficiency should go up, I guess.
Why is smaller a good thing? Because farmers have wanted to go big.
Doesn't stop, I guess. I guess as far as sectional control and smaller sections become more efficient as far as inputs go, and I guess you likely have a fleet of them possibly, but
yeah. And is there a labor efficiency in there for you?
For sure, yeah. You know, one guy can run essentially three machines, just be babysitting them, and it's, you don't have to have to other guys that are capable of, you know, operating a, another, you know, advanced piece of equipment, I guess.
Do you think you'd miss driving the tractor?
Oh, I suppose for a bit. After a week or two, I suppose I'd get over that. Yeah.
I think it's the way of the future.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
For sure it will be.
Good. Thank you very much.
It took several decades for the tractor to replace horsepower on prairie farms. We'll have to wait and see how long it takes for the dot to take hold. For our last item this week, we bring you a report from Grain News reporter Lisa Gunther and weather and crops analyst Bruce Burnett on what he found when he traveled across the prairies examining the state of this year's crop.
So Bruce, if you could give us one word to describe the crop conditions this year, what would it be?
It would be variable. In all my years of crop touring around Western Canada, and I covered about 4,500 kilometers in all areas except for the Peace River region. This crop is one of the most variable that I've seen in terms of crop conditions, in terms of growth stages. So certainly variable is the watchword this year.
And how is it varying between regions?
Well, certainly in Manitoba, the conditions are pretty good. They have had a lot of moisture, a reasonable amount of moisture in Manitoba, and the temperatures have not been maybe as hot as they have been further west. So we're seeing a decent crop there. In terms of the main area of drought in the prairies, it is in southern Saskatchewan and southern Alberta. Those are the areas that have received warmer temperatures, and the soil moisture supplies dwindled. They haven't received very much rain since planting, so you're starting to see that in the impact on the crops.
Bruce, have you seen any unusual sights in your travels over the last week or so?
Oh, certainly. There's been a number of them. I think a couple of the highlights or lowlights, if you would put it, we did see some combining activity on the 2016 crop still. So if you think about it, it's 16, 17 months since they've planted that crop. And so it's something that you don't see very rarely. The other thing, I think, again, goes back to what the drought impact has been in the south, especially for the later planted crops. Crops like canola, flax, really have been hurt by this hot, dry condition. And so we're seeing yield potentials that are at crop insurance levels already, probably, in a number of those areas. So that's the concern. In the north, conditions are okay, but again, the variable planting conditions, and especially the later planted crops, had trouble establishing. There was a lot of crop that was mudded in. Those stands, although they look better and they have more moisture, certainly are not as good as they usually are in terms of the number of plants per square meter.
Of course, one of the questions in all this is how it's going to affect markets. What are the market implications, first of all, for wheat?
Well, certainly the market implications are being driven right now on the wheat market by what's happened south of the border. Like our region in southern Saskatchewan, southern Alberta, those conditions are pretty dire already. But further south, where they've had more heat and more and less moisture, we're seeing very, very low yield potentials. So certainly that's been driving the markets. The U.S. stocks are going to be very tight this year, second tightest in about 20 years. So certainly that's what's been driving the wheat markets.
And how is that going to, is there going to be any effect on protein premiums as well with all this?
Well, there certainly is a protein premium already intact in the futures market, which is the essentially the difference between lower protein winter wheat and spring wheat. Those differences in prices are already quite large historically. But in terms of the protein premiums that we think of here in the prairies, between, let's say, a 13% and a 15% protein premium, the U.S. crop looks like it's going to be very high protein in terms of the spring wheat, certainly. Winter wheat proteins in South Dakota are coming in very high already, so you would expect the spring wheats to be even higher than that. So I would say the marketplace is going to have enough protein wheat around, so you wouldn't see the types of premiums that we would, let's say, expect in a protein shortage year.
What about canola markets?
The canola, again, is a concern, mostly because of the low carryout levels that we're going to have this year. as well as the fact that we still see strong demand. So what we grow this year is going to determine what type of market we have in canola. Again, this heat and dryness, especially in the south and central growing areas, is causing some yield loss. So certainly I think the canola market's going to be fairly well supported by those fundamentals. Add into that concerns in the western Corn Belt in the U.S. on the soybean crop. I think that's certainly something that we have to be aware of. And that really, that weather market in soybeans doesn't start till August. So there's still plenty of potential for canola to rally here, based even on just a soybean rally.
Of course, the Canadian dollar has been rising relative to the U.S. dollar. How is that going to affect crop prices or crop markets?
Well, it certainly puts a damper on our prices in Canadian dollars. Who would have thought 6 months ago that with an oil price under $50 a barrel U.S. and the current economic conditions that we see that the Canadian dollar would rally, but we hit 79.50 yesterday, which again is a high for this year. So certainly we're going to see a drag on our prices from the stronger Canadian dollar. Fortunately, the price increases in canola and spring wheat have been large enough to overcome this, but it's something to watch out for, especially if this dollar continues to be strong over the next marketing year.
Lisa was talking with Bruce Burnett, who is Glacier Farm Media's Director of Weather and Crop Information. That's all we have on Between the Rows this week. Join us next week when we'll bring you more reports from Ag in Motion. Thanks for listening in. I'm Laura Rance.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Between the Rows. Our goal at Bayer is to continue to progress our lineup of high-performing seed and crop protection solutions so that we can meet specific grower needs like yours. Because when it comes to your farm, Bayer is with you from beginning to end. Between the Rows is a production of Glacier Farm Media, Canada's leading farm publisher. We'd love to hear what you think of the show and invite you to send your comments to btr@farmmedia.com or visit us at membersgetmore.ca and sign up today.